Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into After Hours on Raiders Week. Jay Binkley with Julio Sanchez again. Decade-long partnership. What's up, Julio?
What's going on, buddy?
How are you doing, my friend? Another good players-only show with Dana Hughes.
Yeah,
yourself.
I felt we switched some things up. I felt pretty good about that.
That sounded pretty good. Yeah, one thing about Dana is you can always tell, like, he really doesn't like the Raiders.
You know, it's in his blood now at this point, right?
And that's good, though, right? Stuff like that carries on. I like hearing it. Of course, Dana played with Marty Schottenheimer, so of course, that was always major news for the Chiefs in that day.
I was going to say, that was like instilled in him subliminally.
Do you hate the Raiders, or do you hate the Broncos, or have you moved on to the Bills and Bengals? I mean, where does your hatred lie? I'm just asking you because of your age. And I mean, you're not super young like a lot of the producers we have. You're not super old like myself. So you're probably
middle
somewhere
aged,
in between.
You know, 40, middle-aged. Well, I am a transplant from close to Buffalo. I'm a Chiefs fan through and through. I would have to say, and this it's a good question, I would have to say it'd be more on the Broncos side only because when I first moved here, they were the team to beat. Right, they were it was the Elway days. We were getting crushed. The Raiders have just been irrelevant for so long. It's kind of killed that rivalry a little bit. I mean, there's still hatred there, but I feel like it's a little more on the Broncos side. That being said, at this point in time, it's definitely the Bengals.
Yeah, growing up, what I did, it's about the Raiders. You know, that was always because they were good back then. You know, Howie Long doing his deal and the Raider Marcus Allen before he came to the Chiefs. And that made it fun. Then the Broncos obviously got good with Elway, and that became disgusting watching Denver. Denver, I guess, has been more irritating to me.
Yeah.
Because of the incomplete they always put out there in their love of Elway and that direction they went. Then Manning goes there, and it's like, oh, man, I get so tired of the Broncos. But like baseball, I feel it does get cyclical.
It does.
Like the Royals, 100%. I mean, that big hatred for the White Sox, you know, there for a while. You know, they went the Cain Julio, where Lorenzo Cain pulls his jersey over, you know, his head, and the fights with them, the Batista and the Blue Jays, and that's because it was relevant then. Brett Lowry with the Oakland A's, you know, spiking Escobar, that was a hatred team. But there's really no animosity towards the Oakland A's, who I guess, or they're going to Sacramento and then maybe Vegas, maybe.
Who knows?
But for me, it's about the Bills and it's about the Bengals. It's about the Ravens. I get tired of these fan bases. Because football, I don't know how you've been looking at it, but man, people are into their teams. And I get that and I like that. But man, there is a lot of stupidity going on as well.
We've done a lot of traveling here lately, and we were on a flight with a bunch of Baltimore fans, and it was just, man, they're brutal. Like, they really don't like us, and rightfully so.
That's fine.
They might probably hate us, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That, like, I don't know what it is. It's the Patriot way, right? Like, you're good for so long, people are tired of seeing it, and they start to hate you for it, which is good for us, but
it's anything in life. You're good at it, and all of a sudden, they want to turn on you. I mean, Tebow saw this, right? He's great in college, got the pros. Everybody likes to make fun of him. But nowadays, man, it is just, and he's not really using social media as the end-all, be-all, whatever, but there's a lot of Chiefs animosity, a lot of anti-Mahomes, a lot of anti-anything Kansas City. Now, there's a lot of positive, too. I mean, clearly, there's a ton of Mahomes jerseys all over the country, and Chiefs fans are now everywhere because everybody does hop on that bandwagon at different times.
Well, I feel like the Chiefs are now to the point where before it was like, oh, when we're coming up, it was like, oh, we love, you know, something new, something. Now we're to the Patriots point where either you love them or you hate them. And there's really not any in between at this point anymore, which is good for us.
And the funny thing about it is that, you know, you hear all this, well, the Chiefs get too much love. They always have the refs helping them. It's like you hear those arguments.
It's a lazy narrative.
It is. And you put more stock into it if you actually watch Chiefs games, if you actually saw what should have been pass interference last year in Green Bay and wasn't, if you actually watched the Frisco game and see the throat jab at Patrick Mahomes that should have been a penalty being pushed. A lot of times he's been pushed late and they don't call it, but everybody wanted to make a big deal about him running against the sideline, quote, taking advantage of the rules so defensive players wouldn't hit him. I have news for people who don't watch Chiefs games. There's been plenty of times he's been hit late out of bounds that's not been flagged. He does not get anywhere near the Tom Brady treatment. I know that people want to make that narrative. Agreed. But if you watch that replay on that, he was going down the sidelines. There was a couple of San Francisco players just gave up. I mean, they could have easily just pushed him out with their hands or whatever. They didn't do it. And he faked them out because that's what he always does. You never know if he's going to flip the ball lateral. You never know what he's going to do. But it had confusion on the San Francisco players. And the funny thing is, Julio, five of the top six games this year are Kansas City Chiefs games, viewership-wise.
Yeah.
So if you say you're tired of them all this, my thing is, why are you watching them?
People still watch.
Well, you have to be watching them because it's not just people in Kansas City that can put up that number and be five of the top six shows. Last year, 100 top shows last year, 93 of them were NFL games. 15 of the top 100 were Kansas City Chiefs games.
Well, you know, it's one of those things when you're at the top of the hill, people either want to watch to see you win or more often than not now want to see you lose. They want to see them get knocked down a peg.
Yeah, but this whole fake narrative, I'm just tired of Chiefs. I don't want to watch. Why are you doing it then?
No, they do. They want to watch them lose.
You have a choice in life. You don't have to turn the TV on. You can go do something else.
Well, and I feel like the Chiefs get penalized now for capitalizing at the end of games when things, they don't go their way, but they cause teams, other teams to make mistakes or they take advantage of mistakes and they capitalize, whereas a lot of times other teams don't. And because we do, it makes us look bad, but they're just good in clutch time, man. They're just good.
It's like that Bengals game, you know, when they, oh, you can't call pass interference.
Oh, you can.
It was blatant pass interference. Yeah. And I get the old adage, right? On Hail Marys, you swallow the whistle. You don't do it because technically, there's pass interference on every Hail Mary at the end. But a lot of times they don't call it. But that was blatant pass interference. That became a big deal. But the hands to the face, the Chiefs got the play before it where they were penalized and would have had a first down. They don't remember that.
The two it is penalties short-term, before that. There was two.
It is short-term memory. And the Chiefs are penalized three times on a drive in Atlanta. But they don't choose to look at that. And you see the national pundits and everybody rating Chiefs. We'll get into it later. You know, this where they rate the Chiefs and Mahomes and all this. I think people are forgetting the one thing. This is about winning titles, man. This is about wins and losses. And I'm sick of the whole six touchdowns, eight interceptions. I am. Because to me, you're an educated football fan that has no reason to be on national TV breaking down a game that you obviously don't watch. I've heard so many takes from people that actually don't watch the games. I mean, do you think that Colin Saunders' interception is Mahomes' fault? It's credited to him. It bounced out of Juju's hands right into him. Did you watch the Chiefs last year when Kadarius Toney had the ball just bounce off his hands straight into defenders multiple times?
Yeah.
Or Xavier Worthy falling down and Patrick Mahomes throwing an interception? They don't look at that. Or the fact that the quality of receivers he had. Chiefs have been running out Jody Fortson, who got cut this past year from the Dolphins, and 14 personnel so they can run 14 tight end, or four tight ends. I mean, look at what they're playing with. This isn't Peyton Manning that's got Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Dallas Clark, boom, 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 all these weapons all over the place, or the three amigos that John Elway had. Just don't have it.
Well, and again, this is more of a lazy take because if you haven't been watching the last 2 years, this is how they've been winning. Like, based on their defense, they kill time on the clock. They move it between the 20s. And that's just how they win with defense and special teams. I don't know why this isn't a surprise. It shouldn't be.
The laziest take to me when everybody looks at the offense, just like they did last year, say, what's wrong with the Chiefs? They can't move the ball. Remember they lost the Raiders last year. But then again, they go on the road in the playoffs and they beat the number one, the number three, the number four scoring defenses in the entire NFL. The only reason they didn't beat the second best points against defense because it was their own. So again, they go on the road in the playoffs where they say, well, Kim Holmes went on the road. Look at the stats. He's only played one more game on the road than at home, and he has 1,300 more yards passing and 20 more touchdowns and a higher completion percentage and a 10-point higher quarterback rating on the road than at home. But you won't hear that because they don't want to do the homework. They just want to throw things out there and not actually watch the football game. I mean, it is unbelievable some of the stuff we're hearing. I'm like, the defense gets no respect, man. The defense gets no respect whatsoever. They didn't get respect last year. And people start talking about the defense's course towards the end of the year. But statistically, the Ravens got a ton of credit last year for their defense. A ton of credit. Statistically, the Chiefs were better than them in many categories. They were barely behind them in sacks, number two in scoring defense. The Chiefs were number two in the NFL in sacks the last two seasons. That's hard to do. People didn't realize that. They don't understand that. How's that happen? This defense has been fantastic, but they say, what's wrong with the Chiefs? How about what's right with the Chiefs? How about they keep winning games? How about the defense is shutting teams down and making big plays at the end of the game? Defense is part of football because for years, you've been salivating, not you, Leo, but the National League, you've been salivating over the Ravens and what they're doing. And I'm still hearing this crap about the Ravens. And all the Ravens fans are salty. Here's the thing about it, the national people. I mean, we heard clips, you know, on 96.5 The Fan this week, you know, people saying, well, Baltimore's the team to beat and all this. Well, you said that last year. Remember they went on a stretch like where they beat like eight teams with over 14 points, by at least 14 points, more than anybody in the NFL? They were a machine. But not only that, they had the league MVP in Lamar Jackson, and they had the top defense. You know what?
What happened?
This isn't your daddy's Baltimore Ravens defense. And again, watch the game of football. The Ravens, going into this week, have the 32nd ranked defense against the pass.
Yep.
How many teams are in the NFL? 32. They're dead last. Not only are they last, they are last with a bullet point. They give up 14 more yards per game than the 31st ranked pass defense, the Jaguars. And we all know how bad the Jaguars suck. Yep. But the Ravens are behind them. Oh, scoring defense. Do people score on the Ravens? That's where you mark of a true team. 25th in the NFL in points against. You can score on. But the Chiefs have not given up 30 points for 2 years. Since that Eagles Super Bowl, all the way last year, all the way this year, without giving up 30 points. They did in that game. The Ravens, on the other hand, have given up 30 points two of the last 3 weeks. The Chiefs have not given up 30 points in 2 years. Big difference. But again, they don't look at the facts.
You know, it's the way that they're winning, right? Because it's flashy, because they put a lot of points on the board. They have a high-powered offense. People are overlooking how bad that defense is, specifically that secondary. When they've played good teams, good defenses, that offense has not quite looked the same, right? Granted, it was, especially against the Chiefs, it was the first game of the season. You're still feeling things out. I understand that. But come playoff time, it's about the defense. And with how that defense is playing for the Ravens, they're going to be in trouble. As flashy as they might come in into the playoffs, it's a whole different ballgame, man.
And they better be prepared to go on the road because Chiefs sit there with a two-game advantage. Not only that,
defense travels, man.
This schedule is not incredibly difficult for the Chiefs. They've already gotten over that hump. Played the Ravens, played the Bengals. They've played the Niners on the road. All these things look like tough at the beginning of the year. Yeah, they have to go to Buffalo. Okay, they go take a loss in Buffalo, say.
Yeah, whatever.
They end up 16-1, 15-2, 14-3. I mean, this team is going to win some games. Like, don't be surprised at that at all. And the national people may have a hard time with that. It's the Raiders this week. Obviously, there's some revenge on the mind of Kansas City Chiefs. That Kermit the Frog thing and everything else, the circle, the bus. Everything else the Raiders have done. I just kind of laugh at what the Raiders do, to be honest with
you. Stupid. It's dumb.
Because the Chiefs are undefeated, 4-0 in Allegiant Stadium. They won a Super Bowl on their turf. That's the ultimate flex, man.
Yeah.
When you spill champagne on somebody's locker room floor.
On your rivalry's locker room floor.
That is the ultimate flex. And that's what they've done. The ultimate flex is flipping on the TV and seeing more fans of the opponent than the Raiders. If I was a Raiders fan, I would be incredibly, incredibly embarrassed to be a Raiders fan. What happened a couple weeks ago when the Steelers were there?
Beat down.
Terrible towels were all over that stadium. That was all Steelers fans. There's not a fan base for the Raiders. It'll be inundated with Chiefs fans this week. Cody Gold, they're out in Vegas right now. They see all these Chiefs fans walking on Fremont Street, the Strip, you name it. They're having a watch, you know, a party out there tomorrow night. There's all these Chiefs fans that make their way to Vegas. The one thing I do like about the Raiders, there's one thing. I like Brock Bowers. Like, Brock Bowers balling, is who, man. I wanted in Kansas City, that tight end. That dude is ridiculous. He's already got 60 catches, man. That's their weapon, and that is the weakness of the Chiefs is stopping tight ends. Like, that's been the way all year. The Chiefs have trouble doing that. You go back to Isaiah Likely, Kittle, you know, go back to this. They've had, you know, haven't lost to anybody because of that, but Brock Bowers is their single biggest threat.
He's been balling. He has been far and above the best tight end in the league thus far this year for a rookie too. He's going to be a great player, but again, that's the only legitimate offensive threat they have. So well,
on the Character Concerns podcast, we look at the draft, look at like to me, that's the closest thing to Kelce coming out in the draft. Yeah. And I mean, I was like, and I knew the Chiefs weren't going to get him because he's going to go away. And some teams, you know, didn't pick him early. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You're missing on that Brock Bowers.
I agree.
This guy's the truth, man. And we'll see what happens this year. Last show, I went off on the college quarterbacks because they're so bad this year. I mean, maybe in the first round now, Shadur, Cam Ward. I mean, I might be hesitant to draft a first-round quarterback this year. It's not going well for them at all this year. Coming up next, though, we'll look at the Chiefs' newest addition, DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to be playing this weekend.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. Man, Missouri Tigers really going in this Alabama game, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to that game, but man, Missouri,
injured,
man.
All across the board.
Oh,
huh?
Dude, you know, Brady Cook looks doubtful for this game. Nate Noel, same situation. Mookie Cooper, their third leading receiver, according to Eli Huff, that covers Mizzou, ruled out. Nate Noel, I mentioned, and Brady Cook both doubtful. So not like looking
three
good.
Three safeties on the injured list, three of their safeties. How bad is this going to get? How ugly is this going to get?
Yeah, the star player, the star position, Dalen Carnell, Sidney Williams, they're all out, questionable. They're doing these injury reports for the SEC now that they used to never do.
You like this injury report thing?
It's no, because they're, man, I was looking forward to this game before the year, like Missouri going down to Alabama, like what a tough game, you know, that's going to be. And, you know, Alabama's very vulnerable, completely lose to Vanderbilt on the road, turn around and lose again to Tennessee, which they did. They've lost two of the last three at Tennessee, but then before that, they went on a 15-year run beating them.
Tennessee is a good team this year, though. You know,
so they are.
It's not a bad loss.
But I always look forward to watching that. But, man, Brady Cook, he goes out of the game. Drew Pine comes in. He was terrible.
Yeah.
And, I mean, could not move the ball. The Brady Cook goes to the hospital, comes back, plays the most crazy
Cooked.
Thing you've ever seen.
Cook, weren't they pining for Cook to be replaced coming into this year?
Is that a
see what pun? I did there? You see what I did there?
Yeah.
You know?
I saw what you did there.
He's cooked.
Regardless, DeAndre Hopkins, now a Kansas City Chief. I like this move, Julio, not just because, you know, you like those guys. I actually like DeAndre Hopkins for one very specific reason, Julio. He catches the football.
Oh, wide receiver that catches the football?
The most frustrating thing is seeing the football bounced off the hand of the receivers, stalls the drive, you bring out Mataraiza, you punt the ball away because your guys didn't catch the football. I mean, it's such a big thing. I was 100% for this. He had that tear in his MCL. Takes 4 to 6 weeks typically to recover. We're past that now. He's a tough guy. He's gonna go through it.
That's the only thing that scares me about this, man.
Yeah.
Another injured receiver.
I'm with you, but he But he plays. He played 16 games last year. The guy had over 1,000 yards last year. He's toughing it through this injury. It might be, who knows, it might be mostly healed too. It takes 4 to 6 weeks, or it could take a lot longer to before you, if you have surgery. He didn't want to talk about that. He just wants to play. I respect that about him because you see a lot of guys not wanting to play. DeAndre Hopkins does. And he's played 168 pro games. He has a catch in 168 games. Every game he's ever played, he's got a catch.
It's impressive. Potential Hall of Famer, I think, in my book.
The one thing about him, too, is, you know, the guy's been playing 12 years. Guy's been a five-time All-Pro, three-time first team, two-time second team. He's got 168 straight games with the catch. The only human being that's got a longer stretch than Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce, 164. Remember, Travis Kelce's streak ended where he had three straight catches for like 117 straight games, where he at least had three catches, which is crazy. But he has at least one catch in 164 games. The only guy more is DeAndre Hopkins. So they've got the two longest active streaks, both playing for them at this point. And that's a good thing. I mean, his drop rate's extremely low. I remember before we went to Tennessee, that three-year stretch, he had over 300 targets. He had three drops. That's 1% drop rate. Like, I like to hear that. He's got a 3.6% drop rate in his career. Catches everything, makes the contested catches, great route runner. I'm not asking for a ton, man. He did have 7 touchdowns last year. He's great in the red zone and doing those things, but he's such a cerebral football player. He's going to fit right in. But I love the fact he catches the football, because the most frustrating thing was his team leading the NFL in drops.
First of all, that was one hell of a stat. Let me just say that. I did not know that. So that, wow. But that being said, he's exactly what the Chiefs needed. A security blanket, someone you can depend on, which I think is the most important thing at this point with how the offense is moving the ball, is being dependable. Catch the ball when it's thrown to you. You don't have to do anything spectacular. Move the chains. When it comes clutch time, catch the damn ball. That's all we need.
Listen to this number that Matt McMullen put out from the Kansas City Chiefs. He likes stats too. Hopkins has often made the most of receptions. This is insane. 69.1% of his career catches have picked up either a first down or a touchdown. Think about that.
Big,
he's got,
man,
79 career touchdowns, but 69.1% of every catch he's made has gone for a first down or a touchdown. That is a winning football player.
Dependable. That when you need to pick up that third down, he's there for you. Where have the Chiefs on offense struggled this year? The red zone. He gives you that.
Except for last week, they were 4 out of 5. Yeah. They were able to punch it through. But yeah, they've struggled on that. But it's getting a guy in there with that street cred. That stuff goes a long way too, man. When a guy's been there and done that and been a good player. Mitch Schwartz, who does the fans football show with me on Friday nights at Buffalo Wild Wings, I asked him, they've had guys, when he played, Terrell Suggs was picked up. And I said, man, you guys seem to gravitate right towards Terrell Suggs. And he goes, oh, yeah, man, it's freaking Terrell Suggs. I mean, they respect guys like that that come into the room.
Got a resume, you know?
They just do. But I'm with it, and they don't have a ton of it. Like, they're literally right up against the cap now that they have to pay the half the salary. The Titans paying the other half than DeAndre Hopkins.
They don't sign anyone else, right?
They weren't, man.
Never say never.
You could restructure. If they restructured, they could find a way to do it, because where there's a will, there's a way when it comes to the NFL. But they're pushing all in to win that third title. But they're selective in what they do, and they've made good choices in what they do. Listen, did Amari Cooper? Well, I mean, I liked Amari Cooper. I'll be honest with you. He does lead the NFL in drops, by the way, with 11.
He does.
So,
but
that's,
to be fair, he had Deshaun Watson throwing him the ball.
It's very
to
fair.
To be fair.
And DeAndre Hopkins had one because he hadn't got a ton thrown to him. He had Will Levis.
Will Levis,
so
come on.
Let's be fair, you know, as far as that's concerned. But he wants to be here, wants to win. Davante Adams was never going to be traded to the Chiefs. The Raiders weren't going to do that. No. Not only that, the price tag on Davante Adams is ridiculous. Now, Cooper Kupp was thrown out there, but the Chiefs didn't want to give up the draft capital, quote, to get a Cooper Kupp, who's, by the way, playing tonight. They're playing the Minnesota Vikings. And I know there's a lot of people salivating on the fact that Cooper Kupp could be gone tomorrow. I know Pittsburgh's been wanting a receiver really bad. I wouldn't be shocked if Cooper Kupp ended up in Pittsburgh. Talking about trading Matt Stafford and all this, I'm like, what are the Rams doing?
They're trying to clean house, man. It's that time.
I understand that, but it's too early for them.
Stafford's old.
It is too early for them to wave the white flag. They're still in it.
Yeah, but
that division sucks.
But they're look. Are they going to win a? Do they realistically have a shot at winning the Super Bowl? No. They might make the playoffs, but what's the point at this point? You might as well rebuild. If I was them, why not?
Yeah. You do have to make the decision when you're going to do it, when you're going to decide to be that team. But it's kind of hard to sell to your fan base. Like, there's a fan base in L.A. What am I talking about?
Exactly.
There's not. But, yeah. And it's, again, it's a team that didn't parlay itself when they won a Super Bowl. Well, and they fell right off.
And McVay is a good enough coach, sure, that they will always be competitive. Yeah, you know?
It's
rebuilding.
It just makes you look at Andy Reid and what he's done. You know, the 6 straight AFC title games. He's been to 11 now when you include Philadelphia. He's coached 25 years. That is 44% of the time. And I always laugh because going back and doing the post-game show, like the last couple of years, people want to fire Andy Reid and all this. And I'd always ask him, I said, well, all right, give me top 5 names you'd hire. Crickets. 44% of the time he's been in a title game. That is insane. Number 2 all-time in postseason wins, with a great chance to pass Belichick in that. 4th all-time in wins. Got a long way to go for that, but he could easily become, you know, the winningest all-time coach in the postseason. And check out all this Mahomes stuff that he's been taking nationally and all this. Being undefeated should mean something. He's got 15 postseason wins, too, by the way. He's not even 30. That's 3rd all-time.
That's crazy.
That Mahomes has, yeah, in postseason victories, and he's not even 30. I mean, that is insanity looking at that. But everything is brought in here for a reason. They're bringing him in. He catches the football. Give Mahomes the fuel. Give him some weapons. It is his time. I feel they should still draft him. I mean, you got Xavier Worthy here. Makes a nice toy, you know, throwing down the field. But the Chiefs shouldn't draft just one receiver next year in the draft. It should be 2. I always felt they should have done 2 this
Getting
year.
Greedy, Bink.
What? Because a few injuries here and there. I mean, they're going to have to deal with Rashee Rice's suspension when he comes back next year. So that is one thing you're going to have to deal with. I think Hollywood Brown, there's a great chance he comes back.
I was just going to say that. I don't know that they need to draft two, depending on how the offseason goes, right? You bring back Hollywood. You potentially could bring back D-Hop on a vet minimum salary. That rounds out the room with some dependable vets. And then you kind of throw in Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. I mean, let's worry about this year first, but you're right. I think next year will be a little bit different.
Tom Brady sits number 1 all-time postseason victories, 35 for quarterbacks. Joe Montana, number 2, with 16.
Oof.
Mahomes sits number 3 all-time with 15, meaning he goes and wins 2 playoff games. Yeah. He is only behind Tom Brady in playoff wins. That's when it counts, man. I don't care about interception numbers. I don't care about anything. I care about that 15. Because that means you're winning in the postseason. That is the hard. Just winning football games is difficult. But they continue to do it each and every year. That's why, you know, they're not going to bring in DeAndre Hopkins if they didn't think, you know, he could play. And it's a 5th-round pick at this point. Who cares? It can manifest itself into a 4th-round pick if they win the Super Bowl. He plays
60% of the snaps. Boo-hoo, you give up a 4th-round pick for Super Bowl. I'm good with that.
You win 3 straight.
I'm good with that.
You can have my draft picks. That's perfectly fine. And they have 2 3rd-round picks this year as well. So they still got some ammo in there. Come up next, though, hear from DeAndre Hopkins. He actually spoke at Arrowhead Stadium today. We'll let you know what Andy Reid said about him as well.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
back, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez.
No luck back there?
No, not at all. You paying attention to this Vikings scored all of this Vikings game?
I am. I'm watching it now.
You got any fantasy implications in this one?
I do. I got Justin Jefferson, so.
7-7 now.
That's right.
7-7 Vikings and Rams. Vikings. That's everybody's flavor of the week. Oh, the Vikings, toughest team in the NFL.
We'll see if old Sam Darnold turns into a pumpkin or not.
Isn't that funny though? How the NFL works. Everybody's either good, you're bad one week, you suck, you're great, you're an MVP, you're not MVP. Early in the season, everybody's like, "What's wrong with the Ravens? They're 0-2. They lose the Raiders at home. They lose the Chiefs week one. They lose the Raiders. What's going on with them?" The Buffalo Bills. You know, that was a team that looked good in the beginning. Then all of a sudden, they went to that little stretch where they lost two straight, almost three straight in that Jets game. But they won a couple, and everybody's liking the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. That's your MVP right there. Early in the year was the Saints, remember? They scored 47 and 44. They went to Dallas and scored 47 points.
Hottest, I was like, hottest offense the first 2 weeks.
Derek Carr, this could be the MVP season. Look at the Saints. Now, look at
happened?
Them.
What happened?
And then they always crap on the Chiefs.
Derek Carr happened is what
then
happened.
They crap on the team that's been consistent. They always win and they're 6-0.
I'm all right with that.
But there's always a flavor of the week, and it's definitely been Minnesota as of late. Go Rams in this game. It'd be kind of funny. Here's Andy Reid's response. He did talk today and is able to talk about the Andrew Hopkins now because it's an official deal. He wasn't able to talk about it yesterday or the day before because mum's to work. You can't tamper. He knows better than that because he dealt with losing a pick on the Macklin deal. But here was Andy Reid if D-Hop's going to play this week.
Well, it could be this weekend. You know, we'll see how he picks. I've got to get him on the practice field. But right, why wait, right? If he can handle it without putting him in a bad position.
I love the response right there. Why wait? Why wait? You have him. You might as well use him. I love that response. Here's Andy on what D-Hop, Nuke, whatever you want to call him, whichever you want to call him. You ever hear the story of Nuke, why it's called that?
Don't.
Because of the pacifiers when he was a kid, like the NUK pacifier. It's been changed kind of being, I thought that was always Nuck. I didn't know that was Nuke. Did people call it Nukes?
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know what they're called either. But anyway, he's Nuke or D-Hop. I call him D-Hop. But here's what Andy said about what he brings.
Well, I think not necessarily lacking, but I think he's a good, he's a veteran player and seen just about everything over 12 years. So, and he's a good space player. So he's very good understanding how to work in space. At the same time, he's a tough matchup because of his size, arm length, big body that knows how to kind of play that low post area very well.
Body type like Rashee Rice, you know, he's over 6 foot, he's over 200 pounds. I mean, he's a bigger dude. Kind of reminds me of Sammy Watkins a bit. And I mean, obviously Sammy was faster, but that role. And I don't really care about him like this week or next week, the week after. When you really need him to perform will be the season that counts, and that's the postseason.
Yep.
Because for all Sammy Watkins about being hurt all the time or all this, that year they won the Super Bowl, that 19 season they won in 20, that whole postseason, he averaged 96 yards a game. Like, that's okay, that was great. I mean, almost 100 yards per game for Sammy Watkins on that Super Bowl run. That's what you want. You want him for the postseason. Now, you need him to get there, and you need him for your seed and all that, but you truly need him once the postseason begins. And who knows? Maybe you get Hollywood Brown back at that point as well.
Yeah, I would prefer they kind of usher him in a little more slowly. One, he needs time to learn the system. Again, he's a veteran. It shouldn't take him that long. But
he missed camp, but Kareem Hunt did too. I mean,
more importantly, his health. Like, ease him in slow, allow him to still heal up a little bit. Let's not beat him up. There's still more than half a season to go. Like, let's bring him in and really utilize him when it counts. Right now, you're 6-0. There's no need to force anything right now.
100% there's not. They're finding a way to be creative. I think they put their two most complete games the last 2 weeks.
They're coming together, slowly but surely.
And listen, Frisco took a bunch of injuries. They've had a bunch of injuries.
It's still a good team,
They are
still a good team.
Their receivers have been depleted. I mean, they have been. I mean, Debo didn't
but so
even
have
play
we. You know, that excuses.
Oh, we have too. That's what I'm saying. You know? I mean, that's why I've really never heard that excuse, you know, nationally, because the Chiefs are kind of in the same situation. And they're very good against Brock Purdy. They're very good against Kyle Shanahan whenever they play him.
Spags, man.
They've won their last five against Spags, for sure. But they've won their last five against Frisco. Here's Andy Reid, how long he thinks it'll take for D-Hop to get kind of in tune with things.
The bottom of just the snap count part of it and work your way up through. But he's seen enough. You know, he's been around it long enough to where it's more a dialect than a language. So, yeah.
I mean, he's seen enough. He's done enough. It would have been cool had he been able, you know, to be here and been at Camp Pat and getting acclimated with him. But they've been friends. He's been friends with Chris Jones, you know, for quite a while. He wanted to play here. He's got motivation. He's done a lot of things in his career. He wants that ring.
You know, maybe he shouldn't have went for the money. He knew I have.
Well, Chiefs are very interested in him 2 years
yes,
ago.
They were hard pressed for him, and he went where the money was. So it's hard for me to be a little sympathetic towards that. But here he is. Seems like it worked out, you know?
But again, you just need to win. I don't really, if he has 30 yards, 40, then as long as there's the W after the box score for the Chiefs, the W, that's like 115 yards, 150 yards, 30, just win.
Whatever it takes to win.
Just find out a way to win. And by the way, Isaiah Pacheco, you know, I think he'll be coming back in November, something like that.
I hope so. Kareem and him in the backfield, oof.
Yeah. I also think, by the way, Justin Ross be activated this week. So,
believe he is, right? It's confirmed already, isn't it?
Is it confirmed?
I thought so.
I thought he was. I thought it was pretty much going to be a done deal, and that he'll be up here with the team this week. But again, it's about just winning the game, and he's played 12 seasons. He knows this is the veteran presence. This is the guy that kind of hopefully. Guy for Xavier Worthy, these guys to look at, like how he goes about his business, because DeAndre Hopkins is all about business. He's all about doing his job. He's not about the fluff or anything else, and you'll hear from him here in just a minute, but he is about taking care of business. 913 Hopkins comes a year late. Yeah, it would have been good to have him last year when they tried to make a run at DeAndre Hopkins. It would have been good. It didn't work out. He chose the money in Tennessee. Tennessee was loading up, man. There's nobody that spent the money in the offseason that the Titans did. They went crazy on that defense.
Well,
and they brought in Calvin Ridley, and they already had DeAndre Hopkins. The problem is they won't listen to anybody with common sense and thinking, well, Levis was a good quarterback, because he's not, and we all knew he wasn't before they went and got him, but they went and got him. But that defense was number one in the NFL last week before the Buffalo Bills trashed it.
Well, I can't blame them. I mean, that's kind of the formula, right? You get a rookie quarterback, you surround him with a bunch of talent, and you figure out whether he's good or not. I think at this point we know now they tried. Will Levis is hot garbage. And it's time to move on.
I know a podcast they can listen to.
Now it's a fire sale.
I know a podcast they can listen to, Julio, here in Kansas City, that a couple guys last year were railing about how bad he is as a quarterback.
Oh, what's the name of that podcast?
But Character Concerns.
Oh, okay. That's
2 years ago. The Kansas City draft, when he got mad and left the draft because he wasn't drafted in the first round. That should have told you everything you need to know there.
Everyone knew he was not going to be a great quarterback.
He had like 16 interceptions his last 2 years.
Yeah. He was not a great prospect.
He's not good at all. DeAndre Hopkins, as I mentioned, Matt McMullen put the stat out there, but it's crazy. 69.1% of his career catches have ended up in a first down or a touchdown. It was absolutely insane. Well, he's here in Kansas City. He's now a member of the team. That's official. He spoke today. So hear from DeAndre Hopkins next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkler, Julio Sanchez. Guess what? It's actually raining, I think. I mean, it rained a little bit the other day, but maybe some parts of the city didn't. But didn't we have like 25, 26 straight days without rain?
No, it's been dry for a while.
It has been. Looks like a little storms maybe happened in the night. That's good.
We had some hail earlier.
Oh, was there hail?
North, there was some hail.
Oh, really? How far north?
Yeah. In my neck of the woods out in Smithville up there. Yeah.
And both of you and I are Northlanders, so hate to hear that, my friend. Hate to hear that. Plenty more to get to tonight. Our phone number, 913-586-7965. Same as the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. 6-5. I've got something to play for you a little bit. Make you mad. You know, if you want to be made mad, I can make
you
mad.
Let's do it.
We'll look at some teams. Look at some of these teams in the NFL, these contenders, pretenders. Oh, by the way, can you believe we have actually the World Series tomorrow night? I mean, it's delayed because of game six. This is game seven. They didn't have that.
Baseball's the worst, man.
But it's like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah,
they
lost all their momentum.
Yeah. I mean, it's got Ohtani, it's got Judge, it's got all that, but it's got no buzz.
I've got no interest.
If you're in between L.A. and New York.
Two of the richest teams playing the World Series.
Yeah, not a lot of sympathy for those guys. No. The newest chief, DeAndre Hopkins, who it looks like, according to Andy Reid, is going to play this week. Got a chance to meet the Kansas City media for the first time, and props to Kansas City media for not asking what his favorite barbecue restaurant is. Much appreciated they didn't do that, but here's DeAndre Hopkins.
Guess who just spoke a second ago? Let's pick it up. DeAndre Hopkins, the newest member of the Chiefs. We now know he's wearing number 8. This is his first time talking to the media. Here's what he said about being in Kansas City.
Welcome to Kansas City. You know, last time you played the Chiefs was in the AFC Championship game in 2019. I know your best game was in 2017 with 4 touchdowns. What's it like now playing with those quarterbacks to now you're going to be playing with Patrick Mahomes?
Always been a fan of Pat. Stayed in touch with him throughout his career. So, excited to go get started.
While you were in Tennessee, teammates with LeJarius Sneed, before you came here, what did he tell you? Did you all have conversations about what it's going to be before you here in Kansas City?
No, we didn't have many conversations. We was focused on where we were.
DeAndre, how do you just see your fit in the offense? I assume you played against these guys and you watched these guys enough to know the way they like to play and you know yourself really well. How do you see that marrying?
Wherever I'm needed. That's on coaches to put me where I need to be, but wherever I'm needed.
DeAndre, what would you say about Patrick's game and how you watched that over the years and what you do think of his capacity as a quarterback?
One of the best to do it. I was looking forward to going out there playing with him. Obviously, been a fan of his, so can't wait.
Said that you guys talked a couple years ago about what it would be like if you could come here and play.
Who you say it first?
Chris Jones.
Okay.
He said in Miami, you guys talked a couple years ago, kind of like, how awesome would that be? I was, going to ask you if you thought about what it would be like to play with Patrick, and Andy Reid, and just kind of, what you thought about that.
Yeah, obviously throughout my career, been a big fan of what Andy has done, going against those guys in Houston. They gave us some tough battles, so I always, just admired them from afar. Chris Jones is one of my buddies off the field, so him and I, of course, talked about, the potential, if I ever got the chance, being a free agent or getting traded.
DeAndre, you've been traded before.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk us through just your initial reaction when you found out that the trade is going to happen, you are going to be a Chief, considering your move from Houston to Arizona?
Obviously, the trade before was a little different. Different circumstances. I got to thank Rand and his staff for, trading me to a contender, first of all, because those guys, could have traded me anywhere. But, I got to tilt my hat off for those guys before anything and thank them a lot for that. Coming here, when I got the news, obviously I was excited, but, ready to get to work.
Hey, Andre, what do you find out about this place the moment you step into the building? There's just a winning culture here. And does it feel like that the moment you step in?
Oh, yeah. I think everything everybody does here, not just in this facility, but outside the facility, is detailed. That's how you win championships.
Andre, what's the process of studying and trying? I mean, Andy mentioned potentially playing on Sunday. What's the process of studying and trying to get up to speed in a hurry?
I've been in the NFL for 12 years, so, I know football, so hopefully I can go out there and make some plays and wherever I'm fitted, wherever I'm needed.
DeAndre, what you've done in your career, what does it mean to you to come into a building that knows how to win championships and the approach that it takes?
It means a lot. It takes your game to a different level. It takes your focus, your drive, knowing that you're playing for something. It takes your game to a different level. I haven't played meaningful football in a couple years since we probably started 8-0 in Arizona. It takes the game to a different level.
DeAndre, you saw number 8 in there. Is that going to be your number? And so what's the significance?
Kobe Bryant, one of my favorite athletes of all time. So I knew if I ever got the chance to wear number 8, just like when I picked number 10, Messi was my favorite You know, soccer player, underdog, felt like me at the time coming out of college. And, you know, Kobe, you know, it's number 8, it's a special number.
DeAndre, you've been, you know, one of the best receivers since you walked into the league. What does your skill set add to this Chiefs offense, in your opinion?
You know, I can do a lot of things, obviously, you guys seen. But, you know, just, man, just trying to make plays. You know, I'm not trying to give a PSA of what I can do or what I can't do. I play football, so it's going out there and making plays, man.
You mentioned that you worked with a number of quarterbacks. In your experience, how long does it take to truly get on page with the new quarterback that's thrown to you?
Obviously, Pat has done this before with different receivers coming in. I've played with many quarterbacks, so I think we'll be all right.
Andrew, you mentioned a couple of times just as far as, you know, the importance of the team winning here and that being able to be in that situation. How important is it to you, or was it for you, if you were going to make a move, that it's to a contender? And what's the importance of you if you got to play in the Super Bowl?
Very important. I think I've done a lot, all the accolades that I can accomplish as far as personal. So I think, you know, just playing meaningful football in January is, you know, what's left on the list.
Okay, thanks, DeAndre.
Go DeAndre Hopkins, the newest member of the Chiefs, right there reiterating, hey, I know football. It's not going to take me long. I've been doing this for 12 years. So, child, please, man, I've been playing football long enough. I know what I'm doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. I love how the shady through there, too. It's nice to play some meaningful football once again. Yes, it is. And the one thing about this locker room is there's guys in there with 2 rings. There's guys in there with 3 rings. I mean, they're superstars of the league. As big of a star as DeAndre Hopkins has been, not in this locker room. You just got to fit right in. Coming up next, though, I did mention something to irritate you. I'll get irritated with you. By the way, the Vikings up 14-7 now. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.